Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Swedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Hi, everybody. This is Marnie Swedberg, and usually I have a friend with me on the line, but today we are going to just do a program that doesn't have a friend on the line. We're going to do one just with me, and we're going to talk about scavenger hunts. The reason I am pulling this training is because Easter's coming, and usually around Easter time, a lot of us think of Easter egg hunts and different things. People in your community will be hosting some hunts around Easter time, and you might have thought, I wonder if I could host a scavenger hunt or an Easter egg hunt for my group. And you might be thinking, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? To host an Easter egg hunt is very obvious, which is exactly what I thought. I thought it was so obvious that it needed no explanation until I wrote my book, which is Marnie's Scavenger Hunt Handbook. And in the book, I included over 50 extremely fun and easy to run scavenger hunts for groups. And in there, I mentioned scavenger hunts, Easter egg hunt, and I just basically wrote, you know, this is a type of scavenger hunt and everybody knows how to do it, and I kept going with the other hunts that were less obvious to people. What was interesting is that I found out that a lot of people did not know how to run a traditional Easter egg hunt. And so I've provided a training for that now that's available. In fact, if you go over to Marnie.com, on the front page right now, you'll find a place to sign up where you can get all of these details downloaded to your computer just in a moment. You just sign up there, and it will be sent to your email box, how to do everything we're going to talk about during this little 30-minute training right here. So if you miss something, be sure to go over Marnie.com and just request that. Marnie is spelled M-A-R-N-I-E. Now, if you are listening later to an archive, it's possible that that front page is different because, of course, after Easter, it will change to something else. But just know that if you go to Marnie.com and go to the books, Scavenger Hunt Handbook, you can get all of the information there anytime. When I think of scavenger hunts, it just makes me smile because I can still remember the very first scavenger hunt I ever went on. It was at our friend's house. They were missionaries, and they were home. At that time, they were pastoring church in Wisconsin, and we'd gone over to their house for Easter, and she hid Easter eggs and little wrapped candies all over their house and yard, and we had so much fun as children hunting for those things. That was where the beginning of my love for Easter hunts and for scavenger hunts came. And then after that, I went on to be involved in some other scavenger hunts, started planning hunts for large groups, including the Greater Minneapolis Singles Association, which I helped plan a big citywide scavenger hunt for them, and then went on to plan more. Over the years, have planned dozens of scavenger hunts, especially for the girls' club that I hosted in my home for several years, for about 10 years, and we would have at least one hunt, if not several hunts every year. And in the book, Marnie's Scavenger Hunt Handbook, I include all of those. And of course, it's true that you could spend hours and hours going all over the internet finding all of these hunts. Not all of them, probably, but a lot of them would be able to be found on the internet if you tried looking for them that way. But of course, that would take you a lot of time. What I did was one day I was planning a new hunt, and I grabbed this book, my file, full of all the hunts that I'd previously done. And at that time, there were hardly any hunts available online. You could hunt and hunt and not find anything. And now there's a lot more options. But anyway, I had this whole file full of scavenger hunt books, or scavenger hunts, rather, that I had already done with groups or was looking forward to doing. Maybe a friend of mine had done it. And so I had this file, and what I did is I wrote a book, and then I turned it into a book, and that's still available at Amazon.com or from my website. And, of course, if you're a member of the Leadership Club at Marnie.com, you have free access to all of those e-books over there. Okay, let's start, and we're not going to stay here, but let's just start with the basics of scavenger hunt planning, because this is important. Like, for instance, depending on what age you're working with, you would do a scavenger hunt differently. For instance, toddlers are going to do best with photo clues and instant feedback, toddlers are not going to do well with, you know, if you even hand them four items, pictures of four items to find, it's too hard for a toddler. You want to give them one item at a time. You want them all to be hunting for, you know, the one plastic frog that's hidden somewhere in the room. Everybody looks at once for the same thing. Now, if it's an Easter egg hunt with toddlers, it's okay because, you know, they're all looking for an egg. That's all, they're all looking for the same kind of a thing. As they get older, like middlers, they like to work individually in a small area with a short hunt. Teenagers like mixed groups with adult drivers and strict consequences if time limits are ignored. Older teens and adults should be required to use strategy and to feel intense competition. And then age-mixed teams, like for church picnics or family reunions, you can use the adult rules as long as the adults let the kids do the running. Okay, so the adults do the strategizing, and then they send the kids off to do the actual running of it. That works, too. When you're talking about duration for the youngest kids, remember, just like one clue or 1 minute per year of age. Okay, so even if you only have one clue, if it takes them longer than 2 minutes if they're a two-year-old or 3 minutes if they're a three-year-old, it's too long. You want to have it be very, very short. Preteens can actually handle 45 to 60 minutes. So you jump from a minute per year of age all the way up to like 45 minutes if you have like a 13-year-old. You know, so it really changes a lot just in those few years. Teens can do loosely structured hunts of up to 4 hours. So you can make them very long, very complex, but you want to have a deadline time, and that's the critical thing there. Adults can have anything from 3 minutes to 4 hours, and, of course, anybody can, really. Then the group size, smaller children need to do hunts individually. For older groups, divide them into groups or teams of 3 to 10. For hunts that require driving, the number in each group should be limited to the number of seat belts in the smallest vehicle you will be using, and that's just a good way to determine how big your groups can be. And there's different types of hunts, too. You can do search and seizure hunts, which create a straightforward list of items to collect, and that's what, you know, that's what we'll be more focusing on here today. Then you have the riddle-based type of hunts where you plant clues that lead to more clues. You have the do-it and prove-it type of hunts. And these are like you would use a camera, a digital camera or a camcorder to record, to actually take proof that you actually did something, that you went and saw something, that you were at a certain place at a certain time, or that you met a certain person, things like that. The locations for a scavenger hunt, and this might intrigue you, but the locations are so broad. You don't have to have a whole city, or you don't have to limit it to one room. You can do a scavenger hunt at one table by having people find things that are in their purse or in their wallet. You can do it in a room. You can do it inside of a home or a building, in a yard or a park, around a certain neighborhood, or within a mall, a plaza, or another enclosed area like that. You can do it out into your community, but just to homes of team members. Or you can do a citywide hunt. You know, so there's so many varieties of things that you can do, and the sky's the limit. What I love to do with scavenger hunts is take an idea and then tweak it and make it right for you. What Marnie's Scavenger Hunt Handbook does is it takes the ideas and it hands it to you. So you know, a lot of times what happens with people is that you want to get a group together, but you don't know what to do with them. You have to focus on other things. Like, you don't have time to spend 3 or 4 hours planning a scavenger hunt. That's okay. If you grab Marnie's Scavenger Hunt Handbook, for example, you can do a hunt. Some of them, you can just be ready to do it in 5 minutes. You know, you can just grab it, pick it, and do it. So that's what's the beauty of having a handbook like that. But anybody can put together a scavenger hunt. Scavenger hunts are really, you know, not rocket science. They've been around for a long time. But there just are some things that you can do to make it better, more enjoyable, and more successful. As far as supplies go, some scavenger hunts require no supplies at all. Some require a few supplies, and others can be really expensive. For example, there's a bigger and better scavenger hunt that costs as little as a penny per team. While an elaborate hunt could include limousines and video recorders and expensive prizes, it's just really up to you. You're in the driver's seat on that. Regarding the prop possibilities, you can have identification items such as matching T-shirts, or have everybody wear sunglasses, or you could have caps of different colors. You could do mood music. I love to for parties. It's really fun to download a Mission Impossible clip from the, you know, web. You can sometimes you can buy these little individual MP3s for under a buck each now. So it's so fun. You could do Mission Impossible or Raiders of the Lost Ark or something and have that music playing while the teams are reading their challenge sheets. You know, I mean, you can just make it as big or as small as you want to as far as the hype of it all goes. It's just up to you. And then post-hunt activities, this is really important. At minimum, have a little awards presentation and some kind of refreshments. It's really important for people to be able to debrief with each other, and debrief just means kind of unwind. They've had all this adrenaline flowing. They've been going, they've been getting, they've been racing and doing all this stuff, and they really need an opportunity to just down, you know, to come down together instead of just coming back and having it all be over and they leave. Don't do that to them. Make sure to have some kind of a little time for them to chat and a little awards presentation. For search and seizure hunts, you want to display all the items that are brought in by each team so that the others can see everything. This is especially true if they're looking for the same types of items. For example, if you sent a team out and told them to bring back a pelican, well, you are just going to be amazed. Some of the teams are going to bring back like a huge thing. Other teams will bring back this little tiny, you know, keychain thing. And it's a hoot to have all the different team members look at what the different teams brought in. For do it and prove it hunts, you want to allow time for each team to show their work. So you have to allow extra time because hearing the stories because behind the scenes is almost as much fun as capturing them. So whether you're showing the video afterwards or whether you're just showing the photos, you want to give time to let them actually show it and then to hear their stories, because what's fun about scavenger hunts is that you have so much interaction going on with each other, and that's where the camaraderie comes, is kind of in the moment making the memory and then reliving the memory in front of the rest of the group, and then everybody gets in on that memory, and you all, the next time you see each other, you know, it's so funny, you just all of a sudden somebody will just say pelican. And anybody who was at that event just starts laughing because they remember the one pelican that was just, you know, upside down or inside out or whatever it was. When you're doing the awards, try to do some kind of an awards program, even if it's just at the last minute, even if the only prize is like you go in the kitchen and you find, you know, you find us, what are you having for refreshments, and you just let them have theirs first. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot, but you should have some kind of a prize. For theme hunts, you can try to find prizes that match the theme. Examples of that are like for a Valentine's party hunt, the winning team could each get a Hershey's Kiss, or after a room-wide coin hunt, the winner could be awarded with either a piggy bank or a coin counter or something like that. Well, those are just some ideas about the basic overview of how to plan a hunt. We're going to come right back after a break and talk a little bit more. We'll be right back. Are you a leader, an author or speaker, a mom or Sunday school teacher? The Leadership Club is my way of providing encouragement, practical help, and solid God focus to as many people as I possibly can. Together we are learning how to be all that Christ created us to be, in and through His power and presence in our lives. I encourage you to join us at marnie.com. Have a great day. Well, hi, this is Marnie back. We're talking about scavenger hunts today, and if you've never planned one, they aren't hard, but there are some rules that can help you be more successful than if you don't know the rules, and we're going through a few of those right now. I just wanted to share, before we get into the business etiquette rules, I just wanted to share, like I mentioned earlier, a bigger and better hunt. So what would that be? A lot of you have already been on that. Well, like for Easter, let's say at Easter time, you would have each team begin with a, let's just say, a piece of wrapped Easter candy. Okay, and the goal will be to exchange this small and virtually useless item for items of ever-increasing size and value, but only one item at a time. So how they win is that they have to bring back the biggest and best item that they can find through the process of finding people who will exchange something smaller or less valuable for something bigger and more valuable. Now, the team who returns the largest or with the largest, most valuable item will win. So both size and value will be taken into consideration, or you can make it clear that you're not going to do it that way, that you're only going to go with size, because that's very obvious, whereas size and value sometimes is a little, that's left up to someone's discretion. There has to be a time limit. You have to say that the teams have to be back by a certain time or they're disqualified. And what happens here is that they'll be just on the verge of getting something huge if they only had 30 more minutes. And I'm not kidding. Or if they only had 45 more minutes. So this is going to throw your entire party unless you say. You just have to explain to them, you know, at some point somebody's going to say to you, well, if you just go over here, if you just do this or that, you can have something bigger. But the reality is, if you don't come back on time, you're going to lose no matter how big that final item is. So you want to really clearly define your deadline time. And then you have everybody synchronize their watches, and you have something that lets people know that now's the time to go, either a whistle or a bang or something that sends them off all at once, running. So also you want to tell your team some rules. We're going to go through some more rules right now in just a moment, but like for this, for the Bigger and Better Hunt, for example, the rules would be, number one, your team must stay together. Number two, you may not pay money for any items. Number three, you may collect only items that the owner does not want you to return and that you are able to physically bring back to the starting point or to, you know, wherever the party is before the hunt deadline. So those are the rules, and they don't have to be very complex, but if you don't have rules, you get in trouble. Okay, so let's go ahead. So that was the Bigger and Better Hunt. That was just an example of a hunt. But let's go ahead now forward and take just like 2 minutes to go over a list of other types of things that you'll want to take into consideration as the planner. You know, most people who go to a scavenger hunt don't think about this side of planning a hunt, but you as the planner need to think about this side. So first of all, business etiquette. Planner. Anytime your teams need to go into a business where the challenge requires the assistance of an employee, you need to get the manager's approval in advance. Now, a few managers are just going to say, no, you can't do that. But most are going to let you do it, and they'll really appreciate that you asked first. And then the teams, when they're going into a business, so if you have a scavenger hunt like that where they have to go from business to business, and we've done this several times in our town, you know, you say, okay, you have to find a grocery bag. Bring back an empty grocery bag. Bring back a napkin with a business logo on it. Bring back a toothpick that's a single individually wrapped toothpick. Bring back a business card from an insurance agency. You know, stuff like that. If you're going to have your teams go into businesses, you want to encourage them, include this in the rules before they leave the building, that they have to be polite, courteous, and considerate. They can't cut in front of customers or be disruptive in any way. Okay, then for encouraging safe driving, as soon as the teams are chosen, but before the challenge sheets are even passed out, this is important. Don't wait too late to do this. But before the challenge sheets are passed out, after the teams are chosen, so you know which teams are going to be, which people are going to be in which teams, have the teams select a driver. The licensed driver needs to place their license in a special team envelope. You're going to seal that envelope and have them place it in the vehicle's glove compartment. Any team whose seal is broken for any reason will get points deducted or be disqualified. What are you doing when you do something small like that? Is you are communicating, we do not want you to get pulled over for reckless driving. We do not want you to go through red lights, to cut in front of cars, to be dangerous. If you get pulled over for reckless driving or for speeding, you get points deducted or you're disqualified. I usually don't do the disqualify one because sometimes you can't help it. It's not even your fault. But if you just do points deducted, that will be a good way to carry on. Okay, the order of arrival. If your hunt requires the team to go to the same places for clues, you want to make sure to put the lists in different orders so that teams arrive at different times to avoid the potential of poor conduct or vehicle racing. You don't want to have all the teams show up to the same places at once. That just makes for chaos. In fact, you know, people really can get hurt. It's amazing. Even I think adults are the worst. They get so competitive. They will push. They will be just, you'll see the side of people you have never seen before when you're doing a scavenger hunt. So you want to really make sure that you don't have competing teams in the same place if you're going from place to place to place to place. Order them differently. Togetherness options. Your team has to stay together. Teams who divide and conquer will be penalized or disqualified, and you'll be able to pretty easily tell this. It's amazing how clear it becomes that they've separated. So just tell them this ahead of time if it's important to you. Also, your team may divide and conquer, and these are options that you have, but they can as long as no less than two of them stay together at any given time. So if you are going to allow them to divide, make sure that they are staying at least with a partner. Don't send kids, especially, don't send them off by themselves or even adults. The point of a scavenger hunt is relationships. So you don't want to be sending people off by themselves. That's kind of shooting yourself in the foot. Okay, for emergencies, if for any reason a team member gets separated, you know, now that pretty much everybody has cell phones and everything, but just make sure that there's some kind of a plan in place. Don't allow it to happen that someone gets separated and they don't know what to do. Just make a plan ahead of time that, first of all, people are staying together, and if you are allowing teams to break up, they know how to get back in touch with each other. Before we go to break here, for just one more little break, I just wanted to just throw out some ideas for you. If you're planning a Easter item list hunt, so a list hunt is just really, you just give people a basic list and a time deadline, and whoever gets back first with every last thing on the list, or who comes back before the timeline and has the most items from the list, that's the winner. Okay, so it's pretty clear because people, you know, I mean, in the Olympics, they can tell right down to, you know, the length of a fingernail in a big race, you know, who won. And you are going to be able to tell who got back first or who has the most items. Now, when it's the most items, it's possible that there's a tie. But have a flag or something so that whoever gets the flag first when they come back is the winner. So here is just really, really fast out of my mouth, just a list of things that you could have people look for an Easter egg or an Easter item list here for the hunt. They have to bring back a jelly bean, a plastic egg, branch with buds, Easter bunny, spring silk flower, Easter sticker, Easter cookie, cross, pastel candle, styrofoam egg, Easter napkin, one item from an egg decorating kit, sales flyer with Easter promotion on it, an April calendar page from any year, a piece of a pastel curling ribbon, an egg, a stone, an Easter coloring page. Well, the list could go on. We're going to come back in just a moment and talk about search and seizure hunts. Don't go away. We will be right back. It has been my great joy to interview experts on all sorts of topics. The segments with branding gurus Linda Lopeck and Karen Saunders provided over $1,000 worth of training. The segment with literary agent David Sanford, again, worth over $500 by itself. The email management training with Marcia Egan was a huge hit. If you're already a member, then you're all set. But if not, check it out at leadershipattitudes.com. Leadershipattitudes.com. Well, hi, this is Marnie back with an impromptu scavenger hunt training segment. For those of you who are looking forward to having a scavenger hunt for either Easter or St. Patrick's Day or even in the summer, anytime, scavenger hunts are great. I've done them all year long, middle of winter. It doesn't matter. You can do a scavenger hunt anytime. I just before break told you some items that you could do for an Easter scavenger hunt, just a regular list hunt. Here's some for a St. Patrick's Day hunt. And, of course, if you're listening to the archive, you can just rewind these. Otherwise, the book is so helpful, too, for stuff like this. Okay, you could for a St. Patrick's Day hunt, you're thinking green. So here are some things. And, of course, you want to print out your instructions with green ink. You know, I mean, go green on this. Have people wear green to your party. You're looking for a green pen, a green pencil, a green bean, a green key, green nail polish, a green pea, green straw, green napkin, green cabbage leaf, green plastic army man, green glitter, green marble, green plastic toy, green Lego, green apple, green soap, green lotion, green pear, a green toothpick, a green button, a green grape, a green paper, piece of paper, green envelope. Well, the list could go on and on. We're going to cover just one last segment here. some basic overriding rules. So if you're new to planning a scavenger hunt, this is where you get in trouble, is when you're not having rules, because you can do almost anything on a scavenger hunt as long as the rules provide for the safety and the pleasure of the people. The last thing you want is to have people mad at each other at the end of the scavenger hunt. It's supposed to be fun, and of course it has to be challenging in some way, a race or competition in some way, but it should be fun for people. When you're doing search and seizure hunts, these are probably the best well-known. And in these races, the individuals or teams are required to find and collect a certain set of items or information. So the list hunt is like that. But the rules for the search and seizure hunt are, number one, the goal is to capture every item off the challenge sheet. Number two, you must be polite and law-abiding. Number three, you must return with your items no later than, and then you give them the time. And then number four, the first thing back with all of the items wins. Okay, then the rules for the timed search and seizure hunt. So this one, you have a deadline time. Same goal, but it's to capture as many items off the challenge list as possible before the deadline. Each item is worth however many points. So that's where the challenge comes. They have to say, am I going to go for this thing with a small number of points or go for something with a bigger number of points? Again, you have to be polite and law-abiding. You must return with your items by the deadline, whatever that is, and you will be docked however many points for every minute you are late. So if you want to do that, or else you can just say they're disqualified if they're late, whichever you want to do. Now, there's also a search and seizure information hunts. The goals of those are to find the correct answers to every challenge. You must be polite and law-abiding. You must return no later than the deadline time. And the first team back with all the correct answers wins. You're wondering, what is this search and seizure info hunt? Well, what you do is, instead of having them find stuff, you have them find information. And, of course, you can do that with a timed search and seizure hunt, too. Then you have riddle-based hunts. Now, contrary to popular belief, riddles are completely optional with scavenger hunts. In fact, scavenger hunts really aren't about riddles. They are about treasure hunts are about riddles. So that's just a small definition change there, or clarification there. But you can do riddles and different things like that with scavenger hunts. They add intrigue, but they can also be disastrous, so you want to be really careful that a poorly written clue doesn't ruin your party. You can, if you write poor clues, you can have an entire group of people frustrated for over 30 minutes. They will come back angry. They will come back not having fun. So if you're thinking along the line of a riddle-based hunt, consider using coded messages. The easiest thing to work with is like number alphabet, so that A can equal 1, B can equal 2, like that. So you have them coded like that so people don't, it's pretty obvious what it is. It just takes time to figure it out instead of being lost and confused. Some planners run their hunts using like a GPS, a global positioning satellite thing. You want to just make sure, because those don't go down to the very precise dot. It can be anywhere within like even 12 feet or more out. So you want to make sure that once they get to the general vicinity, they can actually see the item that they're looking for. There's two popular types of riddle-based hunts. One is a one-sheet type of directional riddles where the team involved follows the riddle, they find the desired object, and then they head home. And then the second type is a one-by-one, where instead of just going direction by direction to get one thing, they have one direction, they find one thing, they have another direction, they find another thing, like that. Well, we are nearing the end of this short training. Again, if you want more information on how to plan scavenger hunts, if you want just a lot of ready-to-roll scavenger hunts where you don't have to do the hunting all around the internet, you just grab the book and you're ready to go do that. There's so much fun that you can do with scavenger hunts. I've just personally been involved in hours and countless hours of fun with scavenger hunts. So I hope that you will take advantage of the book, take advantage of the training that's available. Of course, if you are a member over at Marnie.com, the book is free as an ebook as part of that membership. So hopefully you'll be able to enjoy that. Have a fun spring. Have a fun St. Patrick's Day and a happy Easter. And we'll see you all back at our regular time on Thursday afternoons for Barney's Friends. Have a great day now. Bye-bye.